السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم اما بعد بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وی کم ٹو اے سب ہیڈنگ ہیئر ان دا کتاب وچ از ٹائٹلڈ ریڈیوسنگ اینگر اٹس ا ویری ویری امپورٹنٹ تھنگ ان ہر بیسٹ انٹرسٹ اینڈ ان دا بیسٹ انٹرسٹ آف ہر چلڈرن اینڈ فیملی The wife should immediately ask for forgiveness as soon as she notices her husband lose his temper, even though she is not at fault. Now remember, I keep saying to you that here it is being addressed to the wife. The whole kitab is addressed to the wife. That's why it's being told that the wife must ask for forgiveness, the wife must control her temper, because it's being addressed to the wife. If the audience was the husbands, the same thing would be said to them. Because whether it's the wife, whether it's the husband, look, only one person is going to get angry at a time. Right? One person is going to lose their head. Now, if we got one mad person, why must the other person also become mad? There's one mad person, the other person must remain sane, apologize, and put the fire off, as I explained to you the other day. Right? Now, she must rather ask Mafi. If he lost his head, she must ask Mafi. If he lost his head, she must ask Mafi. Right? If she lost her head, he must ask Mafi. Right? So, khair. When he scolds her, she should neither reply to him nor remain absolutely silent. Now, when they say don't reply, what they mean is don't argue and try to prove a point. Right? If he's telling, why you did this like this? That's not the time to try and prove a point and argue the matter. Right? That time, maaf. I'm sorry, I won't do it again. It was an oversight on my side. So, you are speaking, you're not totally ignoring. But at the same time, you're not arguing the point because you just want to put this fire off. Right? So don't reply to him, nor remain absolutely silent, because either option would make matters worse. If you're going to remain absolutely silent, that's also going to create a problem. She should rather admit that the fault was hers, even if it was not, and then ask for forgiveness. Besides this, the following guidelines are valuable for reducing anger. Number one. Teach the du'as for entering the home to your husband and children and ensure that they recite these du'as every time they enter. When entering, they should recite, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then recite Surah Ikhlas, Qul huwallahu ahad. Then recite Durud Sharif, right? And also recite the du'a, اللهم إني أسألك خير المولج وخير المخرج بسم الله ولجنا وبسم الله خرجنا وعلى الله ربنا توكلنا. There are major virtues in this, right? One virtue is what is written here. The family should also learn the meaning of this dua so that they may consciously ask Allah Ta'ala for what the dua entails. One is just learning the Arabic, the other is to learn the meaning so that when we're making the dua, we know what we're asking for. When the family enters the home after reciting ta'awuz, no shaitan can enter the house to cause disputes and problems in the house. Right? This is the first benefit. What's the first benefit? Is that no shaitan can enter the house. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala has narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when a person takes Allah ta'ala's name at the time of entering his home and at the time of eating, shaitan says to his friends, there is neither accommodation nor food for us here. There are no bookings for us here. There's no accommodation, there's no food, no board and lodge for us in this house. On the other hand, when a person does not take Allah ta'ala's name when entering his house, Shaitan tells his companions, all the other shayateen, you have found accommodation for the night. You see, Shaitan also got agents, booking agents, travel agents, you know. He also got, right? So, how they see where there's booking, we go on the internet to check if we can catch a flight from Joburg to Cape Town and Durban to Joburg and all that, we go check on the internet. We want to book a hotel, accommodation somewhere, we check on the internet. Shaitan also got his internet, he's checking. If you never read A'udhu or you never take Allah's name and enter the house, he tells all his chelas, hey, right, we got a place to sleep, we got a place to eat, right? But if you took Allah's name when entering the house and eating time, you took Allah's name, now he says, sorry, we got no place to stay here, we got no place to eat, right? Thereafter, when he fails to take Allah's name before eating, Shaitan tells his companions, you have food for the night. Right? Now what this causes, I mean, when Shaitan comes in the house, if Shaitan comes in the house, the only thing he is going to do is cause problems. That's his work in the house. He's going to create problems. Right? If Malaika come in the house, they come with blessings. And if Shayateen are in the house, the Malaika are not going to come there in the house. Understand? Right. Note, to be able to remember Allah at all times and using the correct words, one should keep the following two books handy. There is one kitab here, Masnoon Du'as by Mufti Ashik Ilahi Damat Barakatuhu. And the second one is the translation and commentary of Hisnul Haseen, also by Mufti Ashik Ilahi. Now, look, these are two kitabs. There are many other kitabs also available. In fact, there are even charts. There are charts that got the important, all the du'as are important. Important is the wrong word I used. All the du'as are important, but the more commonly used du'as are on one whole chart. It's written du'as for all occasions. You find these charts everywhere. You go to any Islamic bookshop, you'll find the charts, du'as for all occasions. So if you stick the chart up in the house somewhere where everybody can see it, and it is the mother can do this. The father, he doesn't have time. The mother can do this. She can keep reminding the children, okay, come, let's look at the first column. Let's see the first five du'as. Let's try and learn them. Right? Let's practice them. Hey, did you read your du'a before eating? You're going toilet. You got a topi on your head. With which foot you entering? You read the du'a before entering. Right? The mother can do this. She is at home. Then you get small little stickers with the du'as, or sometimes you find them, they are laminated, right? So for example, near the toilet door on the outside, now obviously not on the inside, on the outside you put a little sticker there, right? So when you're reaching the toilet, you see, hey, the du'a is there, I must read the toilet before entering. On your mirror, you put the du'a for looking into the mirror. On the inside of your cupboard, put the du'a there for wearing clothes, new clothes and normal clothes, right? So you put all these du'as, so slowly all these du'as will come to mind. Now in that house, all the time you are making du'a, where you sitting on your, by your dastarkhan, on that wall there, put the du'a before eating, du'a if you forgot to say bismillah, du'a while eating, du'a after eating, du'a for folding the dastarkhan, right? But you see, all this takes effort. Right? Now the only effort we worried about is, hey, I need new curtains. We need to extend this house. We need to paint. Outside wall is too dirty. We need to sort it out. Right? The yard, we need to get... Those things are there. If there's money to do it, do it. If there's no money to do it, one of those things, even if you hang a sheet on the window, it will still serve the same purpose. The purpose is people from outside mustn't look inside. So whether you got 100,000 rand curtain there, or whether you got one simple sheet hung over there, it serves the purpose, right? But we put so much of emphasis in those things, but when it comes to our dini things, we don't worry about it. We put burglar bars, outside gate, CCTV camera, alarm system, so many things we put to protect ourselves from the burglars, right? But the shaitan who is entering our house with us, what precautions are we taking against him? The burglar may come and steal our goods. Shaitan will come and break up the marriage. The burglar will come and steal the goods. Shaitan, when he comes in the house, he breaks the marriage. Sometimes he can make a person lose their iman. Wallahi, I've got no reason to lie to you. And I'm sitting in the masjid as I speak to you. You are sitting in the classroom. I'm speaking to you over the mic system, but I am sitting in the masjid, right? I'm telling you, not fairy tales, this is a true incident that happened. A man was arguing with his wife. Because the wife asked him something. The wife thought now he is doing something wrong. He is having some extramarital affair or something. So he came late home. And she's thinking now he went to see this other woman. So when he came in the house, she started questioning him. Right? Now she too, what was she doing while the husband was gone? Sitting and watching TV. So she's getting more fumed up, then phoning this one, backbiting, phoning that one, backbiting. So Shaitan is with her also. Right? Now the husband came in the house, so she starts arguing with him. Where were you? Why are you not answering your phone? But why are you coming so late? Now he's getting mad. Who are you to question me? And you falsely accusing me. And they're both arguing. So what she does, she goes and fetches the Quran. See, that's the only time we think of the Quran. We don't think of reading Quran Sharif in our homes. But when the time comes to take some qasam, then we think of the Quran. So now she goes and she fetches the Quran. Now he's fuming. He's in a state of anger. Right? She goes and fetches the Quran. And she says, well, touch the Quran. Put your hand on the Quran and tell me that you take a qasam and you were not gone to see that other woman. Right? Now what that man does, you know, you shudder to even mention it. But I'm explaining to you anger. When a person gets angry, he goes mad. And how Shaitan can even make a person lose his iman. Right? He starts beating his wife up. Right? He's fisting her, kicking her. Right? And the Quran Sharif falls from her hand. When the Quran Sharif fell from her hand, he starts kicking the Quran Sharif. Wallahi, that man himself came to tell me he was shivering, he was in tears, he was crying. He said, I don't know what possessed me. When I think about it now, I don't know how I could have done a thing like that. He kicked the Quran Sharif. If that wasn't enough, he kicked the Quran Sharif into the toilet. Into the toilet. He carried on kicking the Quran Sharif till he kicked it into the toilet. Because we don't want to bring Allah in our homes. We don't want to bring the Malaika of Rahmat into our homes. We want TV. We want music. We want photos. Photos everywhere. Swearing. Arguing. So then this is the natija. This is the result. We don't want to read our du'as. Now we're worried about putting big burglar guard and alarm system. That chore, Allah Pak make our hifazat. I'm not saying we mustn't put burglar bar. We must put. If Allah Pak give money for alarm system, put. But what I'm trying to explain is, we are so obsessed with the security of our worldly things and our physical life. We are so obsessed over that. But we don't even have a slight concern regarding our iman. When we don't read the du'as, the shaitan, and Allah Pak made it so easy. You see, the alarm company, if you tell them you want security, backup and all that, they charge you money. You want 24-hour surveillance, they charge you money. Allah Pak doesn't charge us no money. He doesn't send us a bill end of the month. Allah Pak say, you take my name and enter your house. I will protect your home from the devil. But we're not prepared to do that. That man, he lost his iman, you know. He lost his iman. Because I found out, then I phoned some muftis to ask them, now what must be done? They said, well, this man has to read his kalima again. He has to make a lot of tawbah, a lot of istighfar. He has to read his kalima again. And then they gave a whole lot of guidelines. I'm not going into all those details. But he had to read his kalima again. He had to re-perform his nikah again. Because he had left the fold of Islam through that action of his. So, when we take Allah's name, then shaitan won't enter. So these masnoon du'as are very, very important. Masnoon du'as are very, very important. We should put them up every way in our homes. And the mother will be able to do this. Right? Put it up in the different places in the homes and make amal upon it. Keep reminding ourselves to make amal upon it. Right? Now I was telling you that the first or the one of the benefits is shaitan won't enter that home. Right? Then the second benefit is when a person will read Surah Ikhlas. You see, one sahabi came to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he complained about some deaths. You know? Like he's got some debts or something. And he's not managing to take care of his family, his children. His rozi wasn't sufficient. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, read Surah Ikhlas. Whenever you enter your house, read Surah Ikhlas. Allah Pak will put barakat in your rizq. And reading Durood Sharif, when we enter the house, that too puts barakat in the rizq. Right. So if we read all these duas, we read the Durood Sharif, read the Surah Ikhlas, read the dua, Allah Pak will put barakat in our lives. If Allah Pak is going to put barakat in our rizq, why won't Allah put barakat in our love for the husband and wife? Allah Pak will put barakat in their muhabbat. Allah Pak will put barakat in the children. Allah Pak will put barakat in our amal. Everything will have barakat. Barakat is not only in the money. Allah Pak will put barakat in everything. Right? So the first thing they told us is read the Masnoon Duas. To reduce anger, read the Masnoon Duas before entering the house. Another cause of action to follow is that when one becomes extremely angry, one should recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem and immediately drink the water. If one's husband is also angry, he should also be given water to drink. Right? Now sometime, the husband is so angry, if you go to give him water to drink, he may fling the glass and all. You get some men, they're like beasts, like worse than animals, they get so mad, they start throwing the food and funny things they do. I mean, the food came from Allah. Why must take the food and throw? Why must take the glass and throw? But you get people like that. The Islah hasn't been made. There is no khawf-e khuda. They're not thinking that Allah is watching. So if the husband got that type of a temperament, then maybe don't go and give him the water like that. He may fling the glass, hurt a child or whatever. But now for you not to get angry, read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Because anger is stoked by shaitan. The fire of anger is stoked by the devil. So when we read the A'udhu, we get protection. And water cools a person. Water has a cooling effect. Right? And in the ahadith, there are different things mentioned that if a person is angry and is standing, he must sit down. If he's sitting, lie down. Right? When the couple are having an argument, each one should try to remind the other to either sit down, lie down, drink water, or make wuzu. Make wuzu. Try and remind one another. Right? Anger is extremely destructive and can cause many physical ailments. Person gets high blood pressure, sometimes he can have a heart attack, sometimes he can bust a vessel, blood vessel. Lot of physical ailments. In addition to this, it also causes enmity and hatred between people. One is tremendously rewarded for swallowing one's anger. So what this teaches us is that humans will get angry. Right, as you learnt in your tarbiyat lessons in the first year. Humans will get angry. It's not like now you won't get angry at all. The anger will come. But we have to swallow the anger. We have to be able to swallow the anger. Right? And if we have to exercise the anger, then it must be exercised to the degree that is necessary for that time. And it must be exercised for the pleasure of Allah, not to please our nafs. On the other hand, if one does not control one's anger, one will become a criminal instead of a reformer. A person will be a zanim because uncontrolled anger, now the person will be overstepping the bounds. It is therefore imperative that one maintains a balance of mind when anger begins to set in. This is important for every husband, mother and teacher. Very, very important. Even when you become apas, etc. One young alim, he contacted me the other day. He said, Maulana, I can't take it. These children are so naughty. The other day I gave one fellow a couple of shots. So I had to explain to him that, look, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't hit anybody to teach them. He didn't hit anybody to teach them. Yes, sometimes you have to reprimand them. Sometimes you may have to make the child stand. Sometimes you may have to give some punishment. Sometimes you have to give some motivation. The one who knows the work, give them a chocolate or something. You have to motivate them. Something you have to do. But if the child, after you did everything what is permissible to do, the child is still not learning, it's out of your hands. It's out of your hands. Right? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pleaded with his uncle, Abu Lahab, so many times. Become a Muslim. He tried different ways of explaining to him. In the end, he told him, see, if you become a Muslim, just read the kalima. That's all. Not Abu Lahab, Abu Talib, maaf. Just read the kalima. And then I can intercede for you on the day of Qiyamah. Right? But that too Abu Talib was not prepared to do. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't do more than that now. He couldn't adopt any impermissible method of da'wah. So I had to explain to that ustad that, look, you're trying to teach, you're trying to get sawab. By you hitting the child, sometimes you may hit the child in anger. And you're hitting the child more than what is necessary. Now instead of getting sawab, you're getting guna. Your responsibility is to teach, to make the child understand that is in Allah's hands. That is in Allah's hands. Right? So the Quran Sharif teaches us, then instead of doing something hastily without thought, one should ponder over one's course of action and plan a strategy that will be in the best interest of all involved. Therefore, the solution to a problem should be that the wife, employee, student realizes his or her mistake, while the husband, employer, teacher is still filled with love and concern for them, instead of resorting to anger and violence. Right? That's not going to help anything. Right? If the wife did something wrong, right? She did something wrong. Now, women, generally, this is their tendency. She knows she did something wrong, but if the husband brings it up, now what's her defense? She needs to raise her voice a little bit. Yeah, but you know how much work I got, and you all think I'm sitting and doing nothing. Arre, nobody spoke about all that. Nobody spoke about all that. We're only asking, the husband may have come home, he saw the frying pan is burnt in the sink. Right? He saw the frying pan is burnt in the sink. Now in his mind, he may be thinking, hey, bichari, my wife, she must have been so busy, the frying pan got burnt, I need to buy her a new frying pan. Right? But let me find out from her first, because what do I know about frying pans and whether she really needs another one? Maybe she likes this old one of hers, maybe it just needs to be scraped and it will be fine. So let me go find out from her what happened, who burnt the frying pan, what happened? Right? So he goes with that, but now she is already anticipating this thing, because when she burnt it, right, now she knows she did a wrong thing. And now why she burnt it? Because she was busy making panchat. She put the oil on and she was busy making panchat with her sister on the phone, making ghibat of half the world. So she forgot that thing on the stove. Now it burnt. Right? In fact, the kitchen nearly catch on fire. Lucky Allah Pak saved the kitchen. Right? So now she's already feeling guilty. She's already feeling guilty. She's feeling bad about what happened. Now, the husband just comes, hey, what happened to the frying pan? What do you mean, what happened to the frying pan? You know these things happen in people's houses. Don't you know everybody burns a pot? He didn't say anything. He didn't ask why you burned the frying pan. What's wrong with you? You so like this. Nothing. He just asked, hey, what happened to the frying pan? Right? So he, in his mind, he wants to ask her what happened. Now what must the wife do? He make maaf, man. You know what happened? I don't know what happened. I put the thing on the stove. I forgot the thing. I went to hang the clothes on the line. Or, you know, the phone rang. I went to answer the phone. my sister phoned, she was talking about something, I totally forgot about the frying pan. Please make maafman. Right? Now, story is over. Story is over. Right? The husband will either tell her, hey, see, be more responsible in future, man. Be more responsible. So he's shouting her in a way, he's telling her, he's reprimanding her, be more responsible in the future. But why is he reprimanding her? Out of concern. That look, on the one hand, we can't waste money, keep buying a new frying pan, that's number one. But that's a small thing, we can replace it. What if the house burnt? What if you burnt? What if the small child was in the kitchen and the kitchen caught on fire? Isn't this a dangerous thing? So be more responsible. But now the wife takes it as a personal attack. He's pointing a finger at me. So now she starts exploding. What do you all think? Every day I cook here, I never just burn a frying pan. You know how much work I have. Now one day something happened and you taking off with me. He's not taking off, he's talking. Understand? So for nothing we create problems. Where there's no problem, we create problems. So while there is still concern and muhabbat, speak in a nice tone, apologize. He came and he said, hey, what happened to the frying pan? Hey, make maaf, man, you know. I don't know, man. I did a very silly thing today, man. Please forgive me. You know what a dangerous thing it was. Now, you've melted him already. You've melted him already. Right? Now, there won't be an argument. There won't be any problem. In fact, after the problem is solved in this amicable manner, one's spouse and children will have even more love and respect for one. Compared to what they had previously, they would end up having more love and more respect. This principle should always be kept in mind. Any evil should always be repelled by something good. Right? In the 24th Sipara on the third last page. Right? Idfa billati hiya ahsan. Some evil happened. You repel the evil by doing good. La tastawil hasanatu bisayya. Don't try to equate the matters. No. You respond with good. So what will happen? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. That person between, those two people between whom there was some enmity, some problem, they will now become like bosom pals, bosom friends. I mean, if the husband came, even if he was upset that the frying pan got burnt, and he came and he said, hey, what happened to the frying pan? And you know, you cower now and you go be quiet and you say, hey, you know what, make maaf, man, please, you know, it was really my fault. I don't know what happened, I did a very foolish thing. Now you are confessing your fault and you're talking in a soft tone. I mean, you're going to melt him. You melt him, finish. But if you respond now in a harsh tone, right, now he's going to respond in a harsher tone, and where are we going to get to? We're going to get nowhere. Right? So this is the first cure. There's two points in the first cure, right? One was to read the masnoon du'as before entering the house. The second is to follow the procedure that when you find yourself getting angry, recite ta'awuz, blow in the water. If you're standing, sit down. If you're sitting, lying down, right? Go make wuzu, drink water, etc., etc., right? And then what we said is, while the person is still not, you know, over the cliff, I mean, the person still got some sanity, ask Mafi and finish the problem off. But now don't push the person over the edge. And then now when the person is gone totally over the edge, and now the abuses are flying and punches may be flying and wrong things are happening, then after that we start to cry and complain. So those are the first two things that we discussed under the first point with regards to reducing the anger. So inshallah there are a few more points. We'll do it in the coming days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.